Hello, everyone. This is Stephen McGarvey for LifeAudio.com. Our highest priority at Life Audio is to create content that helps Christians find practical ways to apply their faith to all the challenges of life. And right now, it seems like there's no greater challenge we all face than the coronavirus global pandemic. In an effort to quickly respond to what could be the most critical issue of our time, we've partnered with pastor and author Daniel Darling to create this new podcast, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. Dan is the Vice President of Communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And here he takes a look at the host of issues and problems created for us by this pandemic and how Christians can face them with courage and a hope for our future. While the national outlook seems bleak, we know that Christians can be a source of light in a time of darkness. We hope that this podcast can be a light for you and that you find it insightful and encouraging.
Welcome again to this special series of audio devotionals on Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. This is Dan Darling, a Vice President of Communications for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, also an author and pastor here in the Nashville area at Green Hill Church. Today I want to read from Psalm chapter 60, and I'm reading from the CSB Bible as I read these. And I love the heading for Psalm 60 here. It says, Prayer in Difficult Times. And, you know, a lot of times as we're doing our Bible reading and our devotions in the morning, if that's what you do, that's what I typically do, or if you read them at night or whenever, we can read Psalms about difficult times or read books about suffering that resonate, but maybe not fully because we're not in a difficult time. We're not in a time of testing. Maybe we're in a time of economic flourishing. For many Americans, not most, but for many, we've not really had to experience really excruciating difficult times. Some have, whether it's disease or health diagnosis or poverty or loss of a job or perhaps someone, a broken relationship. So I don't want to minimize that. But for most of us Americans, we live pretty good lives. Now in this time of the coronavirus, we're being tested on many levels. There's a lot of uncertainty in terms of when do things get started back up again. There's uncertainty of will I get the virus? Do I have it? How many people are going to get infected? Well, how many people will die? Will our leaders make the right decisions? There's just a lot of roiling uncertainty that we're facing. And some are indeed facing very difficult times, whether you're a business that had to shut down and maybe stop operations, or someone who lost their job, or maybe someone who is with someone in the hospital who has the coronavirus and is seeing them not doing well, or if you've lost someone close to you because of this or because of other things, perhaps if you're a healthcare worker that's working insane hours and trying to be on the front lines with this. So you may be suffering right now from a difficult time, but all of us are being tested. Psalm 60 is a really interesting psalm. This is written right after Israel had suffered a tremendous defeat. Commentators are not sure which battle that was, but it was after they suffered a real big loss in battle. And I'm just going to read, I think, the first few verses here of Psalm 60. It says, God, you have rejected us. You have broken us down. You have been angry. Restore us. You have shaken the land and split it open. Heal its fissures, for it shudders. You have made your people suffer hardship. You have given us wine to drink that made us stagger. You have given us a signal flag to those who fear you, so that they can flee before the archers. Save with your right hand and answer me, so that those you love may be rescued. And I think it's interesting, the progression of a lot of psalms in this way begin with a kind of desperate pleading to God, almost anger with God. This one begins, you know, God, you have rejected us. You have broken us down. You have been angry. Restore us. Now, I want to say that it's very foolish for us to point to something like a pandemic or a natural disaster. We had a tornado rip through Nashville several weeks ago, and many people, even in my own community, lost their homes, lost their businesses. There were several schools that were just totally destroyed. And it's very dangerous for us to say this right here is God's judgment on America or on Nashville. We don't want to do that because we don't know. We only know that from Scripture when God specifically says to a certain group of people, in this case, most of them Israel, I am sending this because of your sin. Other than that, we got to be very careful about declaring that this, we know this is God's judgment. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to have a theology that says, if I go through suffering, it's because I didn't have enough faith or I did something wrong. No. We live in a fallen world, a world that is beset and marbled through with sin that is broken, a world that Jesus has promised to come and renew and restore. So it's not just people who are broken and sinful, but it's also the cosmos. The Bible says in Romans that it's the creation is groaning and waiting for redemption. So we want to be very careful about saying things like that, that this is God's judgment. However, we do know that God sometimes allows these things to stir us up, to test our faith, to shake us up in some way. And we see this in the book of Job, that Job was a righteous man, but God was testing him. And so I think that's what we can see in this prayer. And I read this Psalm 60 a few days ago, and it really stirred me during a time when I was really, really just kind of stirred up about the pandemic and the uncertainty for our family, for institutions that I care about, for people who might get infected, for what this means as a country. And just, God, you have rejected us, you have broken us down, you have been angry, restore us. These times can be important times of repentance and saying, Lord, we have been, have not paid attention to you. We have neglected our spiritual disciplines. We have had gods of materialism and excess. You know, in a country like America, where we live better perhaps than any civilization in human history, God can easily, this is a time where we realize what's really important. A lot of the arguments and discussions and petty things we talked about before this pandemic, you notice that we're not talking about those things anymore. So we can say, God, you're breaking us down. He really is. You're sifting us. You're testing us. Do we really believe what we say we believe? You have been angry. Restore us. We're asking God to restore us, to renew us, to do a work in us. You have shaken the land and split it open. Heal its fissures for its shutters. You have made your people suffer hardship. You have given us wine to drink that made us stagger. In other words, you have allowed defeat. You have allowed hardship that makes us stagger. You've given us something that has shaken us to our core. And this pandemic has shaken America to its core. We are pretty proud people. We walk around with a lot of hubris. We think at times that we're superior to others. Christians in America can sometimes have that sort of mindset. I know I can. In this modern age, with technology at our fingertips and prosperity, it's easy for us to kind of become our own gods, even those of us who are Christians. And I was remarking to someone the other day that it occurs to me that for most of us Christians in America, we walk around, even though we're believers, we kind of walk around as if we don't really need God. We have our life under control. We have everything sort of set. We have our plans, our short-term plans, our long-term plans. And then something like this comes along and it changes everything. I've talked to a lot of church leaders, a lot of people who suddenly their plans for 2020 and 2021 are vastly different. This is God giving us wine to drink that makes us stagger. Why? So that God can bring us to a place of dependence where we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to trust in you. You have given us a signal flag to those who fear you so that they can flee before the archer. So this is the psalmist saying, God, you've, even in this midst of despair and defeat, you've given us a signal of hope that we can flee from the enemy, that we can have renewal, that we can have victory. And I think even in a time of a pandemic, even in a time of uncertainty, where we don't know what's around the corner, God can give us slivers of hope that we find that okay, God's going to get us through this. We don't know how. We don't know what the next day is going to look like. We don't know what the next week is going to look like, but he can give us hope. Save with your right hand and answer me so that those you love may be rescued. Let's think about this. When is the last time in our lives we really knew or asked the Lord to rescue us? Think about this, where we were in such dependence that we actually had to have the Lord rescue us. I can think of maybe two or three times in my adult life where we've been in such a situation that it's like, Lord, we need you to rescue us. A few years ago when I was pastoring a church, we had a deep financial crisis. And we were on a vacation in the mountains of North Carolina. And there was a chapel where we were staying. And Angela, my wife, and I went into that chapel. And we got on our knees and we begged the Lord. We prayed desperately. And we saw God rescue us. Maybe that's just what God's trying to do in us. He's trying to rescue us. He's trying to get us to a place where we know, where we acknowledge that we are in dependence on him, where we need to be rescued, where we know that we need God. We are a people, particularly Western Christians who live in prosperity, who have everything under control. We have all our ducks in a row. We're prosperous. We put faith in our institutions and faith in our leaders and faith in our politics, faith in our ability to make money, faith in our prosperity. And God is ripping all of that away right now with this just ongoing, uneven uncertainty. And we just have to ask ourselves, God, what are you trying to do in this? What are you trying to do in me today? And I'm asking myself, and my wife and I are asking each other, 30 years from now when our grandchildren ask us, what did you do during the great pandemic of 2020? What was that like? And we might say, you know, it was very hard and very difficult and uncertain, and we didn't know really what was going to happen day to day. But, you know, God really showed himself faithful, and we really leaned in on faith in the Lord. And God did a great work in us that we will never forget. We don't want to waste this time grasping for our own solutions and scratching and clawing, but we want to be in deep dependence on the Lord. So that's what I take out of Psalm 60. God, you have rejected us. You have broken us down. You have been angry. Restore us. Save with your right hand and answer me so that those you love may be rescued. And then I love verse 6. God has spoken in his sanctuary. I will celebrate. And then it talks, the last part of this psalm, about God's power and strength to lead his people in victory. And at the end of the psalm it says, give us aid against the foe, for human help is worthless. With God we will perform valiantly. He will trample our foes. Human help is worthless. Now listen, I'm putting a lot of faith in the doctors and medical experts who are guiding us in this crisis. I have a good amount of faith in some of our civic leaders, whether they're governors or national leaders, although that's less faith than I have in others. But ultimately, human help is worthless. We are dependent on God. And hopefully during this time, God will do that work in us no matter what happens. Thank you for joining me today for this special podcast, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus.
Thanks for listening to Christians in a Time of Coronavirus, a production of LifeAudio.com and the Salem Web Network. If you like what you've heard today, we hope that you'll share our podcast with your friends. And we'd love for you to leave us a review so more listeners can find us. To learn more about Dan Darling's books, projects, and podcasts, head over to his website, DanielDarling.com, or check out the show notes of this episode. This episode was produced by Kelly Givens and me, Stephen McGarvey. It was edited by Stephen Sanders. For more Faith Toolkit podcasts, head over to lifeaudio.com.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your gene size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compared To podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compared To is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.